I will give an overview of what is currently going on in our lab in Florence. After this astonishing talk of Emmanuel, I think we can only add a little bit of disorder to, to the story. In particular, essentially, I want to talk a little bit of disorder, and now why disorder is important, because as you know, is a key ingredient in many microscopic systems, and condensed matter system is important because is inducing insulations, and now why we want to play with disorder with cold atoms against, because we know that with these cold atoms we have a precise control of the situations, and in particular it is interesting to try to see localization effects like the Bose glasses or Anderson localization, and so on. So the field of a disorder with ultra cold atoms has attracted many many theoretical proposals on how to implement this disorder, either using optical potentials, and our chairman is one of the proposers, and then also Rotter Burnett, using spectral fields or multi-chromatic lattices. Another possibility is to add a second atomic species that can be a sort of a perturbing species for the one which we want to investigate. Another possibility, of course, is also to play with magnetic potential or spurious potential in chips and things like this. Now, we have just heard how interesting and important are the optical lattices, and I don't need to repeat why. They are important, and in particular, we are really interested to the fact that we can produce superfluid to MOT insulator quantum phase transitions, and this is what we want to use to create a Bose glass in our laboratory. So disorder optical lattice. So we have a regular optical lattice produced by radiation in the near infrared, and then we wanted to create some disorder, and what we do essentially is to add a second optical lattice, but now we are very far from the condition of the very precise factor of 1/2 in the wavelength. Actually, we want to add a second optical lattice with a wavelength which is totally incommensurable with the one of the main lattice. And in this case, we create a quasi-periodic potential with, if you want, a disorder at the scale of 1 micron or less, which is comparable with the distance between the different sites in the optical lattice. And this is to be compared to the work that we were doing 2 or 3 years ago, when we were playing with instead the speckles to produce disorder. And in this case, we have a much larger length scale, several microns. So with a bichromatic optical lattice, we can go to a smaller length scale. And our experiments are essentially done adding a laser at 1.07 micron, and in the superposition we have this quasi disordered optical potential, and this is the situation a little bit enlarged. You see that we have a sort of non-periodic modulation of the energy minima, which repeats over 4 or 5 sites. So, and in all of the simulation that we have done, practically this is always a good mimic of a real disorder on the system. This also is another important histogram, because essentially this gives you a count of the side-to-side energy difference. And so you have almost a broad, a flat distribution of this. So we are creating a sort of a uniform distribution of side-to-side energy difference. And we know well now that we can produce a Mott phase transition. This is a typical experiment done at length. And of course, when we increase the intensity of the light on this 3D, in this case optical lattice, we lose the coherence and the system is reversible and so on. So we produce the Mott phase transition. And what we also used to do is to measure the spectrum, simply inducing the tunneling from one side to the other with a system which had been introduced in Zurich. And so when you do this Mott transition, essentially you have one resonance, two resonance, simply because the Mott phase is not uniform, so you have size with more than one atom and so on. And this is well known. So this is the Mott phase. There is a very seminal paper by Fisher showing how you can actually, adding now this order, you can go from the Mott insulator phase to a Bose glass eventually, or you create islands of a Bose glass around the Mott phase. And so we decided to implement our system with some disorder. So now, if we add our disorder, which I remind you is created by the superposition of the second optical lattice, which breaks the translational symmetry of the system, then now we create a difference in the energies of the different sides. So we add these terms, and we can go eventually from a system where there is a gap in the excitation spectrum, which I showed you before, to a system with a gapless excitation, when the disorder is much larger, or is larger than the energy of interaction of two atoms in the same size. As a first step, actually, what you observe is when you have a disorder, but it's not larger than the energy U, you can simply observe an inhomogeneous broadening of the Mott phase, simply because now you still have always a tunneling within one side and the other. But now the frequency of excitation, if you want, the energy that you have to give to the system is different if you consider different sides. And indeed, you can compute the resonance, and then you can have all the distribution of the possible different energy shifts, and then you can have a convoluted spectrum of what you expect for your excitation. And instead, when the disorder is larger than U, then essentially the ground state of the system totally changes. So even a small perturbation can produce tunneling of many atoms from one side to the other. So the experiment, the final experiment, has been done using a 2D optical lattice to create tubes of Bose-Einstein condensate of rubidium, and then you see in the direction of these tubes we add the second laser, the second optical lattice creating this disorder, and what you observe is that while you increase the intensity of this second laser, at the beginning, the predicted behavior is the inhomogeneous broadening of the mode is reproduced by, you know, the experiment, while when instead you increase much this second optical lattice, you have no longer the agreement. And also, it's important to note that until we have still an inhomogeneous broadening, and then if you report the ratio between the maximum and the minimum, there is a good agreement between the prediction and the observed experiment, simply because you must save the area under the curve. When instead the disorder becomes equal to the energy, then there is a totally different behavior between the experiment and the prediction. And we see the phase coherence is lost. This is an insulated state because we have no phase coherence with the vanishing energy gap, because practically we can excite at all the frequency. It was a flux energy excitation, and so this is in agreement with the prediction for a Bose glass. So this is, if you want, the beginning of the story of the Bose glass. But we wanted to move before implementing maybe more sophisticated detection system that we are going to do. We wanted to move to the weakly interacting systems, simply because we wanted to move from this region where you have a strong interaction to a non-interacting or weakly interacting, and in order to try to look for the Anderson localization. And actually, if you put a single particle in a quasi-periodic lattice like the one that I have illustrated you before, then you still really have a localized state. So this is, for the single particle, this is a good system to create this Anderson localization. But unfortunately, when you add the interactions, here is the system, you know, wind interaction, then you see that it is increasing the number of particles which are interacting. Then you see that you lose this localization. So interactions essentially are one from one side. They are destroying the localization. But on the other hand, pardon? Boson. If they are fermi, they don't interact. If they are equal, they are identical. And so actually we did the experiment of having a dipolar oscillation on a bichromatic optical lattice, reducing the number of the particles from 300,000 to 15,000, so essentially reducing the interaction. And actually you see that at the beginning we had the oscillation, but eventually you have no longer oscillation, so you have this this localization. But and you can look at this paper. But as we also repeated yesterday during the talk of Wolfgang Kettel, when you have a dynamics in an optical lattice in presence of interaction, there are other sources of possible localization. This is dynamical instabilities, other kinds of instability. So essentially, interactions are creating problems. And for the time being, we decided to stop with this experiment, even though this localization is interesting, and then one can study all the effects of the interaction, and try to find some system to avoid interaction. So one answer could be fermions, as maybe Jason was suggesting. And the other one are the story of the Fischbach resonances. So we were looking for a situation where to have a Fischbach resonance, And we went back to essentially our original work of the production of the gen 41 or 40 by sympathetic cooling with the with rubidium, and we decided to try the last isotope of potassium, and also the last isotope not yet degenerate in the list of the alkali atom. And we did this in a third new apparatus that now is running in Florence. And the sympathetic cooling between rubidium 87 and potassium 39 worked very nicely, as you can see here, in spite of an interspecies scattering length which is rather low. I mean, 20 bores. Unfortunately, with this system, we couldn't reach the degeneracy of potassium 39, simply because the potassium 39 has a scattering length which is attractive, and in fact, it's minus 33 Bohr radius. So, on the other hand, we knew from suggestions of theorists that there had to be a feedback resonance on this system, on this atom. And so we decided to go to the apparatus where in Florence we had observed a systematic investigation of a feedback resonance. These are the curves, the different resonances in the system, rubidium 87, potassium 40, from which we could extract already all the scattering lengths between the different, isotopes of potassium and rubidium, and also predictions of feedback resonances between the different species. So we knew that there were resonances between also between potassium 39 and rubidium 87. And now I want to devote a few slides to the production of this new Bose-Einstein condensate with tunable interaction, potassium 39. And so quickly, the system is as typical. You start from a magneto-optical trap, then you start evaporating rubidium. Now you need to do microwave evaporation because potassium is exactly the same magnetic structure in the ground state, and so at a certain moment you reach the situation of 1 million of rubidium, nearly 100,000 atoms of potassium at a little bit less than one microkelvin. And then, as we had already discussed before, you cannot have the Bose-Einstein condensation because of the scattering length. So we decided to look for homonuclear feedback resonances in order to tune the scattering length to a positive value. And so to do that, you transfer the atoms in the very ground state of the system. Then you do the evaporation in presence of the homogeneous magnetic field. And also you choose the parameters of the optical trap in such a way that you have more evaporation from rubidium with respect to potassium. And this is the key feature of the story. We discovered several interspecies resonances, in particular this one, which is rather broad. Interspecies is in blue, and so there is a resonance in this 318 Gauss. And so we start the evaporation for a few seconds on with this value of the magnetic field. So we go now from this original 800 nanokelvin to 150 nanokelvin. And in this situation, the interspecies scattering length is more than 100 bores. While, of course, the one of the potassium 39 is still negative and small. Then we switch 2, a magnetic field value which is related to the homonuclear Eschbach resonance, the one on the potassium 39, and then we keep going, waiting. Now the scattering length between the two species has gone back to the original 28 bores, so it's not much, but the scattering length of potassium now is positive and large. So if you wait for a while, eventually you have the Bose-Einstein condensation of potassium 39. And now, the moment in which you have done this Bose-Einstein condensate, you can go back to different values of the magnetic field on the left side of the resonance. And so essentially, you have now the condensate with different scattering lengths, in particular also going across zero. And this is shown in this picture. While you scan the magnetic field and as a consequence the scattering length, as you can see, you reduce the size of the condensate, and eventually when you cross the zero, the zero region, you go to a unstable region because you have now attractive again condensate, and then you have this collapse. And the same story applies when you go very close to the flashback resonance, where of course you have a very strong three-body losses of the system. You see here, practically you can see the colors, what I already said, and then three-body recombination. And here we had we really reduced the size. Essentially, when we are near to zero, practically we go to the ground state energy of the trapping potential. While instead, when we are approaching the flashback resonance, the condensate is larger than of a factor of three. Andrea Simoni has done a rather systematic investigation of the behavior of A as a function of the magnetic field, and these are the prediction for the size as a function of the scattering length. And really, you see that these are a priori prediction, and then they really, really nice reproduce the region when where you are practically crossing, the zero. So now, what we can do with this new condensate, which like cesium and lithium has this possibility of tuning across zero? Well, of course, now we can go to weakly interacting Bose gases, Anderson localization. You can play with attractive condensate in optical lattices. You can use it to tune U independently of J when you want to do the Mott phase. And when I say the block oscillation, for instance, maybe you remember what we reported in Santa Barbara 3 years ago. These were the long-living block oscillation with the Fermi gas because they were not interacting. And now it would be interesting to, for instance, go and see the same story, but now with potassium 39, then tuning the interaction and see what's happened when you go from an interacting condensate to a non-interacting condensate. And as a final story, I want to show you how then eventually during in the last period we went back to the original potassium 41, which was the one by means of which all the story started, because in that case we had a two different atomic species Bose-Einstein condensate. And in order to study the behavior of a double species BC in optical lattices. So I want to remind you that of course these two atoms, they have a different mass. As a consequence, the critical temperatures are different for the for the two. So one condenses before, you know, before the other. This is now a nicely repulsive two species B, you know, BC. This is also the reason why it is a stable, I mean, a stable mixture. So what we did, we added again the 3D, you know, optical lattice on this system, and in a situation in which, as a consequence of the vertical sag, gravitational sag, and of also the repulsion between, you know, the species. If you look here at the simulation from the Gross-Pitayeski in presence of the vertical optical lattice, you see the two are they have not a huge, but they do have, I mean, a superposition. And this is what we observe. So you can see the again the transition to, you know, to the Mott phase, which in presence of 10% of perturbing potassium atoms is anticipated. So we are in a situation in which while the rubidium enters the Mott phase, potassium instead is still superfluid because of the different masses of the two systems. This is also seen when you do this in a 3D situation. You see that actually the presence of the potassium 41 anticipates the Mott phase. The system is reversible, so it's really a Mott phase, and then you can report now the visibility in absence of perturbing potassium 41 and in presence of perturbing potassium 41, and we have also done here with a much weaker trap in such a way that now the two species were absolutely separated, so they were not superimposed, so they could not really interact. And in this case, you see that practically there is no difference, of course, adding or not adding potassium 41. Now, here the story is interesting because, as you know, last year, a Bose-Fermi mixture was placed in a 3D optical lattice, and these were, you know, the papers reported in Zurich and in Hamburg. And the reason why this is happening is not really totally clear. There were many possible explanations, I mean, of the behavior. But as a matter of fact, what had been observed with the Bose-Fermi, using the potassium 40 as a perturber, which is different from potassium 41 for two reasons: the statistic, because it's a fermion and not a boson, and also the fact that now in this case the interaction is attractive and not repulsive. So what we have observed using instead the bosonic potassium seems to be similar, at least at this level. And in all these cases, also in the experiment, the Bose-Fermi, probably one could improve the knowledge using flashback resonances, which are present, as we know, in the Bose-Fermi system, but also in this potassium 41 rubidium 87 mixture. We have a nice interspecies flashback resonance, so the system can be implemented. But however, we think that These are interesting because we have a possibility of a new quantum phases. For instance, another question would be whether we have two different species per size, or A, B, A, B, A, and of course playing with also with interaction. Then it would be interesting to see the effect of dipolar phase bound by repulsion. Then, of course, this is the other system that we can implement to play with the disorder, because, of course, there is a species in presence of, of the other. And probably what we are doing in this polaron thesis that I know that Jacques was reporting last week exactly here in Santa Barbara. However, here we are open for suggestions. So let's simply conclude, give credit to the group, in particular to the senior persons. So here you have Chiara Fort, who is the key person for the experiment on disorder, Giovanni Modugno for the Bose-Fermi and now Bose-Bose mixture with potassium 39, and Francesco Minardi for this experiment on with potassium 41 and rubidium 87. Thank you.
All right, so now we got plenty of time for discussion, so questions are welcome.
I have a couple of questions. First, can you show again the slides where you show the disappearance of coherence peaks in the presence of disorder as you turn on the lattice the disorder potential? Mm-hmm. It was very fast, so I want to make sure I understand those data.
Yes?
Okay, so let me try. So first we have this kind of rod-like structure. So this is already when you have a kind of decoupled, first you have decoupled tubes, but very little random potential, right? Do you understand this correctly?
So you create the tubes with yes. the S for creating the tubes of the order of more than 20.
Okay.
Of the main optical lattice. Then in the direction of the tubes, the first line there is the regular situation. So essentially you have no second longer wavelength optical lattice.
So that's just a mod insulating in one dimension.
It's one
because it's one dimension, that's why we see this kind of stripe pattern.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is one. This is interference.
Yes.
Okay. Here is everything. Oh, I must tell you that we observe practically the same things using a 3D optical lattices and then adding, let's say, the disorder in one direction. But this system was considered more clean by the referee. So I show this one, and now in this direction of the tubes. Then here you can add, the second lattice to create a disorder, no? And then this is now on the level of 2.5, so this is in presence of a disorder. And what we wanted to try to see in this particular measurement is whether there was a difference in the behavior of the coherent fraction as a function of the intensity of the light, simply because there was a paper around of people predicting the possibility that the onset of the Mott phase in presence of the disorder one could see at the beginning a little improvement on the visibility of the fringes, but as you see here we don't see practically any difference.
Why
should be improved?
Yeah.
Well, I Actually, this was a paper which I never saw published. I only saw on CONMAT. Was a computer simulation. However, I think that the explanation is that when you have this onset of the Bose glass, at the beginning you create islands of a superfluidity, which are somewhat enhancing, you know, the effect. But what I think is that we cannot see any difference, at least with the kind of accuracy of this technique. And it's for sure that maybe using some more sophisticated techniques, one could try to.
What about the width? Naively, you imagine that the noise should at least make the kind of the peaks broader.
Yes, we do the same. Either okay.
Because this is just probably comparing maximum to minimum, but maybe
also the visibility, but also we've done the same of with the width and nothing happened.
Okay. So another question that I have is for the Bose mixture. So actually I'm trying to understand. So you see this kind of reduction of contrast when you add.
Wait. This one?
Yes, right. So you see, yes, reduction of contrast when you have another species, but they actually overlap very little in space. But so let's say there is probably some volume fraction I can define. So maybe they like 10% of the sample overlap. So then
yes.
Can I say that maybe the reduction of the visibility is
this
the same? Just
this
reduction
was,
of the.
In fact, this was surprising us. But still the effect, I mean, is there. This is a true effect. In fact, when we go much farther in the separation, we really don't see anything. It's also true that assuming that our mock phase is with like a pancake, I mean, with 3, 2, 1, so this board situation is the one where, if you want the real mode phase with just a single occupancy, and so this could have. I think that the interesting story to be implemented now would be to add the feedback resonance in order to do the system attractive, and to simply try to study this effect maybe when all the two condensates are totally overlapped. However, only a 10% or 15% of overlap from the simulation is really creating this this changement, this anticipation of the.
Okay. But I guess maybe. I guess from the data it looks like the loss of visibility is not 10%. I was going.
No.
So it's much larger than that. Okay.
Can you add off-diagonal disorder?
What can I add?
Off-diagonal disorder, that is disorder in hopping.
I don't understand. Sorry.
Disorder in the exchange, the hopping.
Disorder in on the.
In the hopping.
What you mean between the hopping between two different sites?
Yes.
What you mean disorder in the hopping?
I mean, can you modulate that? Here you are modulating the on-site potential.
Okay, these two species, they practically, since they have almost the same wavelength, practically they see the same optical potential from the optical eye. So it's difficult to manipulate one species differently from the other. We should have a species which could be not affected by, for instance, by the main optical lattice, and using the other one, we could add side by side the perturbing species. However, I think that with the system of that now we are implementing of the big optical lattice, we could do for instance, another experiment which actually was suggested by Peter Zoller, which was to stay with the superfluid potassium, which is still a Bose condensate, and then create the mod on that, but still have now rubidium with much less number of atoms, to reduce much the number of atoms. So in order to have not a uniform occupancy of the different side. So this system could be in the direction that you want. which means that you could have now, for instance, the expansion or the dynamics of one superfluid potassium in presence of size occupied or not occupied. Okay. But we cannot play with the optical potential independently on the two.
Oh, thanks.
All right, so we can go to the next question.
Okay, so you showed this data for the time of flight data for Bose glass, and you also mentioned the excitation gap for the Bose glass, the energy gap for the Bose glass excitation. Yeah. So, I mean, the question is that if I compare this data for Bose glass with the data for thermal gas, are they very visibly different or they are very similar? The data for Bose glass,
yes,
and compare this data with the data for thermal gas.
Thermal gas?
Thermal gas, yeah. Are they clearly very different or?
What do you mean thermal gas? We cannot do...
You raise the temperature, say.
When we have a thermal gas, we lose immediately the long range interference, so we don't see. These experiments are done at the beginning using the interference, so which is evidence for a long
but your Bose glass don't have...
Because we started from a mode phase, so if in any case, we have a mode phase, so we see the peaks which corresponds to the long range interference. If we start with a thermal gas,
right,
we don't see anything essentially.
Okay.
And this is not a thermal gas because all the system is reversible. So when we go back to we lower the intensity, we recover the interference.
All right. So if there are no further questions, we can go for a coffee break and come back 10 minutes past 4.